Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Thank you. Oh, please have a seat. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. It's great to be back at Escambia County.
There you go. The governor is here yesterday at Warrenton Preparatory Academy talking about school-related issues. And by the way, this was is an interesting political event because obviously the governor came to celebrate the signing of some things related to textbook complaints, right? That was kind of the proximate reason, but there's some other elements of this bill as well. But he shows up at Warrenton Preparatory Academy. We used to be Warrenton Middle School, but it's now run by Charter Schools USA. So he's come to Pensacola to a charter school, not run by the, you know, county school system, but it's a charter school, and one that had been a real source of trouble for a long time. And it's not obvious. I listen to my press conferences. I don't watch them typically. But I think Keith Leonard was there, superintendent. I don't know if any school board members were there because the governor was, let's just say, not so kind to the Escambia County School Board.
They had tried some stuff locally. It didn't work. So then they said, we're going to do the charter. But it took forever to be able to do the charter contract. And so the Department of Education and the state board both got to go in and say, okay, listen, the statute says that you have to choose a path forward. You have to execute that path forward. And if you don't do it soon, then we're going to withhold your salaries for the school board. Well, they changed their tune very quickly then, and they got in and did a contract with Charter Schools USA to bring us to where we are today. But that's not what we want to be happening, where this stuff takes forever today. I mean, if you have a school that's getting F grades, we need to remediate very quickly. If you drag your feet for 3 or 4 years, those are 3 or 4 years of students that are not getting the type of education that they should be getting here in the state of Florida.
Yeah, we had a lot of conversations about the foot dragging and the slow decision making surrounding Warrenton Middle eventually becoming a charter. Remember all the contract? I don't know if I want to sign this. I don't know if I can agree. And what he's saying is, look, get it done. This is why I remember the State Board of Education was very frustrated at Escambia County. I mean, we lost the superintendent in part over all of this, right? Tim Smith, in part, got fired over this. Not the only thing, but this is related. And, you know, what he's saying is, just get it done. It's not good what you guys were doing. And kids were suffering, and you didn't really act to make it work. And, you know, I know that the school board members would each individually say, well, we tried, and we were doing this, we were doing this. But, you know, the governor's like, dude, get it done or we're withholding your pay. I mean, that not the governor, you know, Manny Diaz, the education chief, that's what they kind of said. And the governor's like, oh, look, they managed to find a solution. Yeah, I don't think it was quite that simple, but I can see the perspective. And again, the point is the governor came to town to a school and talked fairly critically about our school board members at a charter school not run by the school board.
There's a couple things. One is, I think most importantly, districts are going to have to act promptly to do this. And once you're in turnaround status, if you choose that charter school route, you got to enter into a contract and you got to move forward so that we can get a change for the better. So that's going to be really, really important. So what happened here in terms of the length of time is not something that's going to happen going forward.
And that's exactly the point is, you know, you got to act more quickly. You can't just be waiting around on the ideal solution because, you know, the old idea that the ideal is the enemy of the good, do something that's good. Now, that wasn't the main reason he was there, but I did think it was interesting that that was the first thing that he basically brought up. The reason he was there was to talk about parental rights and textbooks.
We also signed bills to give parents visibility on the curriculum that is being used in their kids' schools. And unfortunately, there have been things that are clearly inappropriate for young kids that have been jammed into the curriculum. You will literally have a parent that will be dissatisfied with one of the books, and they will go to a school board. This happens all around the country, and they'll start reading from it, or they'll start showing these graphic imagery, And the school board members, oh, you can't do that here. That's inappropriate to be doing in a public forum. Well, if it's inappropriate to be doing at a school board meeting, how is it okay to be done in sixth grade? I mean, give me a break. So parents have done this, and it's important that we give parents the wherewithal to make sure that what is being done in our schools is both age and developmentally appropriate.
Which, of course, who can argue? Well, see, some people do argue, because it's kind of funny. The people who claim it's book bans, which it's not, you can still buy the books or go to a library and get the books. It's just not in the school. What you want is publicly subsidized exposure to all children for whatever smut you think is appropriate for kids to have access to. I mean, the book subsidizers versus the book banners, if you want to think of it that way, right? You want public school kids, regardless of their parents' desires, to have access to things that their parents don't want them to have, and that, you know, sort of most people would think are actually bad for kids to have. That's what you want. Now, whether you want to call that book banning or not, the idea of restricting access to kids for, you know, adult-ish material is not really a new idea. It's kind of like the basic paradigm of parenting is that you give them age-appropriate things. And as he said, you know, look, taking kindergartners and teaching them to change their gender is not what most people want, right? His words.
Should not be having books in these schools, particularly in younger grades, that are sexually explicit, that are promoting ideology like gender ideology. We don't believe you teach a kindergartner that they can change their gender. That's just not appropriate. That's not what parents want to be taught in our schools.
So obviously Florida has come down on the more restrictive approach to library books in schools for kids based on age appropriateness. I don't mind that particularly, but it has led to a lot of controversy and discussion about which books, what should be the limiting factor, and what age. We'll talk about that more in a second. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
If you were heading westbound on Fairfield in between Pace Boulevard and L Street, there was an accident earlier. The roadway has been cleared, but still use caution going through there. Blue Angel Parkway and Grand Bahama Drive, there was a vehicle crash with debris in the roadway right outside of the Walmart. Please use caution in the area. And US 90 and the Walmart Supercenter Pace Lane in Milton, no roadblock, but a vehicle crash was there. So use caution driving through those roads as well. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Oh, I got a good text in here, 437-1620. Somebody says, so the governor is being critical of these school board members for dragging their feet and dithering and not making a decision about what direction to go with Warrington Middle School back in the day. You mean like not appointing somebody to the District 4 commission seat that's been open now for 12 weeks? When you knew you were going to take somebody out of the District 4 seat to put him in the supervisor of elections office? So it's kind of like a self-inflicted wound? different but same, right? Different but same. 437-1620. Oh, I do want to mention this. We've been having some signal issues over the last couple of days, and on the FM particularly, the 92.3 and 95.3. You can always listen to the AM 1620. That's a good, strong signal. That's our base. That's our home signal. The other ones are called translators, which means they just repeat what's on the other signal anyway. And the app, the News Radio Pensacola app, has a good signal, you know, because it's just on your phone. And you can put that on Bluetooth with your car if you want to listen that way, and a lot of people do. Anyway, back to this issue of the school books. A couple of things. Basically, the rule they signed, or the law they signed, it limits the number of challenges to books that people can give to one per month if they're not a parent of a child in school. That would include teachers, because it was being done on both directions, right? It was the people who were wanting a liberalized version of the school library, trying to make a point. And it was also people who wanted a very restrictive version of the school library who were trying to file a bunch. And we've had, you know, somebody here file over 100, right? You know, one person. So he was saying both of those are problems. Okay, both of those. And some places apparently they don't have challenges at all, which is kind of hard to fathom. But parents as activists either way, or teachers as activists either way, that's not the goal. The goal is to let parents be able to raise concerns about school books that have bad content in them or questionable content. But then he mentioned this, and I thought this was a very interesting observation to make about what you should or shouldn't have in these books.
I think small school districts in particular should be inundated with a lot of these frivolous objections. People, you know some of the books that are objectionable when if you put it on the screen, it will not be, the news will not put it on the newscast because it's too inappropriate to put over the airwaves. I mean, that's a pretty good test. If they're not willing to do that, then you know it's probably not something that should be in sixth grade.
See, that's a really interesting standard because the FCC, which regulates over-the-air broadcasts like, you know, news radio or Channel 3, has very restrictive rules and times of day for content, right? Like, you know, you kind of have the after 10 p.m. and before 5 a.m., the hours where it's a little bit more open. Between 5 a.m. and 10 p.m., we call it safe harbor hours. That's when kids are likely to be awake. But obviously, you know, you cannot go on the air and swear. You know, for example, there are certain levels of, you know, sexual suggestivity. You know, certain radio hosts made a whole living on getting right up to the edge of those lines. You know, there's certainly a lot of material that is in a book that you could not show on TV or could not read on the air without catching an FCC fine or maybe jeopardizing your broadcasting license. And his point is, if you can't put it on the news, you shouldn't put it in the library at school. Now, you want to buy it at a private bookstore, you want to order it online, you want to get it at your regular library, that's fine. But it shouldn't be in a school library for a sixth grader. And I think that's a very interesting standard. Here's why. It's hard to argue that standard is wrong because the whole point of broadcast decency standards is that they are designed to be for whatever age might be watching, right? I mean, that's kind of the idea. There is a big difference, however, between the level of contents appropriate for a 10-year-old and an 18-year-old. Or 17, because 18-year-olds might be seniors, right? 17-year-old, 16-year-old, 50, like each age. And one kid's ahead, one kid's behind. I mean, there's a lot of variation here. The problem with saying FCC rules should govern library books is you'd have to, like, you know, cut down 80% of the library books. I mean, how many books, particularly fiction, have just ordinary, what I'm calling ordinary profanity in them? I mean, loads. Even some of your classics, maybe you wouldn't want to sort of broadcast. And the N-word, for example, is in a couple of fairly famous books that we should not be eliminating because it's how you deal with that. But would you have it on TV? You know, maybe. I mean, these movies do show, but it's a question. And certainly, again, run-of-the-mill profanity, which all of your kids know these words. And if they've been to public school and didn't know them before, now your kids know these words. So, you know, we were stunned by how much profanity was common at middle school. And we sent our two youngest to the public middle school. I was like, whoa. I mean, you know, and I'm not really a prude. I just thought it was kind of surprising that they got exposed to so much so quickly. So it's not like if it's not in the libraries, it's not in the kids' minds. But isn't it kind of an indictment of the overall level of literature and especially young adult literature that you have to say you couldn't broadcast that on the air, but we should let kids be reading it? I mean, that's weird. Isn't that weird? That's weird, right? So I don't know that I fully go with him on this standard, but I will say there's an awful lot of books that would leave the library if your standard was FCC approved, right? And CDs, and movies, and I don't even know if they have CDs in school libraries anymore. What's a CD? Shut up. 437-1620, 437-1620. Let's just say the music of today that they are listening to on their phones might not pass the FCC test, right? I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Are you rushing to an appointment? Have you been late for an appointment? Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto man once to die." Unless Christ returns in our lifetime, we all have an appointment with death that none of us will be late for. Possibly the most remarkable thing about Jesus Christ is that he conquered death. He died, but 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose. It is because of his sinless life, substitutionary death, and resurrection from the grave that he now offers sinners like me and you eternal life in heaven with him. I urge you, don't delay. Confess your sin to him and call upon Christ today so that you are prepared for this appointment.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
The Florida Department of Health in Escambia County works to protect, promote, and improve the health of everyone in your community. Listen in today at 10:30 to the Pensacola Expert Panel when Director Marie Mott will give a public health update. That's today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Let the humans remain entertained until the end.
Good morning, 7:25 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620 and FM 95.3 and on the app at News Radio Pensacola and on your digital radio 98.7 channel 3. I say all that because I know we've been having some signal issues the last couple of days on the FM side, but you can always go to the AM signal or the News Radio Pensacola app and listen there. And I do apologize. I know it's frustrating. We know, too, our engineers are working on it. In fact, I've had a request to explain it, and I will do my best here in just a second. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
If you are on North Palafox and Cervantes, be careful. There is a vehicle crash that is being dealt with currently. South Blue Angel Parkway on Grand Bahama Drive, there was a vehicle crash with debris in the roadway right outside the Walmart, so use caution in that area. And if you're on State Road 10 and Pace Lane in Milton, no roadblock, but there was a vehicle crash earlier, so please drive carefully through that area. If you do see anything on the road that we should be aware of, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
All right, I'm going to give you the shortest, dirtiest, engineers would probably pull their hair out hearing me explain it this way, explanation. We may have some like actual, you know, tower and power and cord and cable kind of issues, okay? But one of the things the engineers are working on is, you know, based on atmospheric conditions, you can have a thing called atmospheric ducting or duct propagation. And this is big words for a very simple phenomenon. If you shine a flashlight up into the air and you got a buddy who's a ways away, they're not going to see the flashlight, right? If you're shining it up into the air. But if you're shining it up into the air and there's like a glass ceiling of some kind, depending on the angle, somebody's going to see a reflection, right? Okay. And if the angle of the flashlight is low to the ceiling, then they're going to see it farther away. And the lower the angle is, the more likely you're going to get a bouncing effect. Is that sort of just basic idea that makes sense, right? You get that? Well, when it has cold and hot air in the atmosphere, you can get a layer between those, just like you do in water. You can get it in the air. And if that layer is there, depending on the signal strength and a bunch of other factors, it basically the signal can bounce off of that layer as if it's glass. And that's why somebody at quite a distance might be able to hear you, or in this case, you have a low power signal on FM 92.3 and FM 95.3 because they're translators, not base tower signals. They're repeaters of something else. A different station in another place can bounce to us when it normally wouldn't and interfere with you hearing it. Does that sort of make sense? Like I said, that's the like philosopher's explanation.
It okay? sounded like me trying to explain why I had a bad golf game. The barometric pressure.
It's basic. I mean, you know, I'm sure, like I said, the engineers would say it differently, but you know, I'm the guy who's talking. So 7:28 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is considering the best way to respond to Iran's attack over the weekend. Monday, he called his war cabinet for the second time in less than 24 hours. President Biden is back in Scranton today. He'll be kicking off a campaign tour across Pennsylvania this week. And seeing some reports, Andrew, that the historic 17th century stock exchange in the center of Copenhagen, Denmark, is apparently on fire now, up in flames. The building had been under some type of renovation. The cause of the fire is unknown at this time. But looking at some photos online, it does not look good.
Oh, well, that's horrible. I mean, you always hate to see a historic structure be damaged anyway like that. David, thanks so much for the update. Oh. The texts that are coming in are killing me. Let's see. I got one here that says, Andrew, I'm sorry. My signal was poor when you were explaining that thing from the engineers. Can you please explain it all over again? Because apparently I'm having some insomnia issues. Somebody else says, just fix it, LOL. My eyes are glazing over. Your eyes are atmospheric ducting. No, it's not. Oh, man. On the book, somebody says profanity is everywhere. It seems to be the new norm. Somebody else says, I'm on my way to my job as a librarian. And, you know, I think that some of these books do have value. I really do think it's an interesting question, this broadcast standards versus in the library standards, because a kid reading a book, how different is that from a kid watching a TV show, right? They're both consuming it one at a time, right? When is it okay?
I'm Chris Foster. The House is sending articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas to the Senate today. House Speaker Mike Johnson on Fox.
Desperate times call for desperate measures, and Secretary Mayorkas is, in my view, the worst cabinet secretary that has ever served in the history of the United States.
He's accused of not enforcing immigration law and lying to Congress about the state of border security. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer could move to dismiss the charges that Democrats call a political stunt. The Supreme Court hears arguments today over whether a federal obstruction law is being properly used in Capitol riot cases.
More than 300 people are facing the same obstruction charge over their alleged actions on January 6. The case could have implications on former President Trump's legal case in Washington over his alleged actions to overturn the 2020 election results.
Fox's Ryan Schmelz. More prospective jurors for former President Trump's criminal trial in New York are being questioned today. Nobody's chosen yet. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 67 degrees. It is mostly cloudy this morning in Pensacola. A Pensacola man now facing charges after allegedly shooting into an empty vehicle. Now, this happened Saturday at Rocky's Food Mart on West Detroit Avenue, and deputies say 22-year-old Thomas Wiesner had gotten into an argument with another man in the parking lot of that store, then fired several gunshots into the man's vehicle while he was inside the store. Wiesner then allegedly fled the scene before deputies arrived. He was identified and located shortly after that incident. He's now charged with felony criminal mischief, discharging a firearm in public, and possession of a firearm while committing a felony. He was released from the Escambia County Jail on $150,000 bond yesterday. A 19-year-old that was wanted in connection with the shooting death of a 16-year-old in Cottage Hill has now been arrested.
According to jail records, Cantonment resident Ethan O'Brien was booked into the Escambia County Jail yesterday afternoon. The sheriff's office says late Friday night, O'Brien was at a party on Wishbone Road showing off a gun when it accidentally discharged, killing the 16-year-old. O'Brien then allegedly fled the area. He's now being charged with negligent homicide.
And that is News Radio's Joe Ford reporting. Governor Ron DeSantis was in Escambia County yesterday, made his stop at Warrington Preparatory Academy. He was there to discuss House Bill 1285 and sign it, a bill he says enhances Florida's already top-ranked education system. The governor said the bill will limit book challenges to one per month from those who don't have a child in a school district.
Because it's being done to create a narrative that somehow, oh my gosh, all these books are quote, banned. No book is banned in Florida. The most grotesque pornographic books that are in schools that have been removed because they're not appropriate, you can go buy it at a bookstore. If that's what floats your boat, you're able to do that.
The bill also simplifies the process to convert a failed turnaround school into a charter school and establishes Purple Star school districts. And those will recognize school districts that have made significant commitments to supporting military families. There's a ceremony being held today on board NAS Pensacola to announce the next commanding officer of the Blue Angels. The event won't be open to the public, though. The next commanding officer will be announced this afternoon at around 4 p.m. The individual will serve as the commanding officer for the 2025 and 2026 show seasons. And NASA now confirming that an object that crashed through the roof of a Florida home in Naples last month came from the International Space Station. Tammy Trujillo has details.
Part of a cargo pallet loaded with 5,800 pounds of old batteries hit the Naples home on March 8th. The pallet was expected to burn up in Earth's atmosphere, and now scientists are looking to find out why their calculations were wrong. Nobody in the home was hurt, and in the meantime, the homeowner says he's eager to resolve the damages. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Thank you very much, Tammy. And it is 7:35 at News Radio. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Jimmy, what are you seeing?
If you are on Cervantes and North Palafox Street, there was a vehicle crash earlier that is still being dealt with, so use caution driving in that area. And on South Blue Angel Parkway and Grand Bahama Drive, there was a vehicle crash earlier with debris in the roadway, so use caution in that area as well. Other than that, I-10 and I-110 are looking good. Not showing any slowdowns on Pine Forest or in Carr City. If you do see anything that we should be reporting on, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to have mostly sunny skies today. Temperatures warming up nicely near 79 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 66. For Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies, high near 79. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 66 degrees. Mostly cloudy again on Thursday with a high near 78 and a low Thursday night near 66. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, looks like we do have mostly cloudy skies. It is 69 degrees in Pensacola, 68 in Gulf Breeze, and 63. In Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Americans have a new number in mind when it comes to retirement. New research from Northwestern Mutual says the average American believes they need nearly $1.5 million saved to live comfortably in retirement due to inflation and higher prices. That number is up roughly 53% since 2020, when Americans predicted they needed about $950,000 for retirement. Peloton has quietly removed the unlimited free membership tier for its app less than a year after it debuted. The fitness company, known for its bike and tread, offered the free membership tier to bring in new customers, but it was failing to convert users into paid subscribers. People who signed up for the company's unlimited free membership before it was removed will continue to have access to it. Futures are slightly higher. Monday, the Dow Industrials dropped 248. The NASDAQ down 290. That's your money now.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
PenAir Credit Union's new high-yield checking account helps members elevate their financial journey when they need it most. Earn 4% APY simply by enrolling in e-statements and making a deposit of $250 or more once a month. It's that simple. Get started online by visiting penair.org or visit one of our 12 convenient locations in Northwest Florida and South Alabama. It's okay to think big. PenAir's high-yield checking account pays up to 4% annual percentage yield with e-statement and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more. For details, go to penair.org/checking.
News Radio Pensacola, your home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Start your mornings off with the award-winning Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jake. Then, get informed and laugh from 11 till 2 with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, followed by the Guy Benson Show. Your afternoon drive is anchored by Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin, followed by Dave Ramsey. It's News Radio Pensacola, heard on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I keep mentioning that. We kind of get away from mentioning AM 1620, which some people don't even know. They only know us as an FM. And by the way, there are some people who still listen to us on the AM signal, I know. But the reason I say that is because we've been having some signal issues the last couple of days on the 92.3 and 95.3. So you can always check out AM 1620. That is still there, rock steady, and been there forever. Also, the app, you know, News Radio Pensacola, download the app and listen live there. Plug it into your Bluetooth on your, not plug it in, but, you know, connect it to the Bluetooth on your car, and you can listen to us over your phone if you're having any kind of, and I'm sorry, they're working on it. The engineers are working on it. I'm sorry. Joining us now, we have Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I noticed you made a big laugh.
Because
big
you did a pretty good job. You got all your stuff taken care of, 92.3, 16, 20. You keep this up, you'll be
channels.
Employee of the month.
Yeah. Not me.
Well, if you kind of
keep
quiet.
That's a whole different question, yeah. Okay, so pretty serious subject. We had a 16-year-old shot who, I believe, passed away, and then you guys were arrested a 19-year-old in connection with. Is that right?
Yeah, how tragic is this? We get a call that an individual had been shot, and we get up there, and we're not sure because they're screaming and yelling, and it appears like it was a disturbance initially. Come to find out, there was a 19-year-old. We determined that Ethan O'Brien, who's 19 years old, he was showing off a firearm to a crowd of kids or another group of kids, apparently acquaintances of his. I don't know how close they are, but acquaintances at least. And the gun goes off, and it strikes the 16-year-old in the chest, and he was deceased at the scene. The 19-year-old doesn't decide to help. He takes off and flees, and then he turned himself in yesterday. So he's been charged with manslaughter through negligence. Mm-hmm. You know, manslaughter covers a number of different things, and in this particular case, we determined it was negligent to do what he did, and charged him accordingly.
Yeah, and as you say, negligence is where, you know, the harm was not intended, wasn't premeditated, wasn't born out of malice, but was born out of a failure to properly take care of the safety of other people or yourself when you should have, right?
Yeah, again, it's pretty self-explanatory. It's through negligence, and you know, it's just so tragic. I've noticed a lot of comments about it that, you know, two lives were lost, and
yeah.
Obviously, my thoughts and prayers go out to the victim and the victim's family.
Yeah.
And then this particular individual has to deal with this for the rest of his life as well. And, you know, I hate to say it's a cautionary tale, but it's something that we talk about all the time, that you have a responsibility if you own or possess a firearm.
Yeah.
And everyone should know by now never to point a weapon, whether you think it's loaded or not, whether you intend to pull the trigger or not, at an individual. It's just, it's a dangerous thing to happen.
And you and I have even talked about this, that, you know, like your concealed carry weapon, right, is, I mean, typically that's a gun that's ready to pull the trigger shoot, right? That's, you know, that's right. The way it is. Because if it's a situation where you need your gun, you're usually going to need it real fast, and you're not going to have time to sit there, take it out, then chamber around, and then, you know, but that means that gun is ready to go.
Right.
And ordinary citizens, right? So, okay, if you take your concealed carry weapon off of your person and lay it on a counter or on a table or in your dresser or something like that, how do you point it? Well, away, you know, or in a safe direction. Just like those are the kind of habits that good gun safety takes into account, because you're always thinking this can kill somebody. And that's why you don't do things like clean it when it's loaded, fail to check it before you hand it to another person, right. All that kind of stuff, right?
Well, and I'll give you an example. When we do our range training, we all go into a room and then we clean our weapons. Mm-hmm. And even in that scenario, when the weapon is partially disassembled,
right,
and we still do not point those weapons, it becomes a habit. And I've not been in the military, but I understand the military does the same thing. You do not point weapons at somebody unless you intend to shoot at them or shoot them.
Well, we're kind of off the criminal side of it now, but just human behavior is a lot made up of habit. Habit of things that make you uncomfortable or things that make you comfortable. For me, the idea of throwing trash on the ground makes me very uncomfortable even to think about. Like, it's unthinkable to me. As unthinkable as, you know, just handing a gun around and waving it in front of other people, even when I know, like, if I know it's not loaded, even disassembled, it just makes me uncomfortable to think about, because I've cultivated that habit, which is, of course, not with these.
Well, and that's what I do
kids.
With my boys. I tell them, do not never point this gun, even really toy guns.
Even toy guns.
You know, don't get in the habit of doing that. Now, when you're playing airsoft guns, obviously that's going to.
But same thing, even there,
before
don't do it.
The actual event, it becomes a habit, and you should just reiterate that to whoever, you know, might have an opportunity to have a gun.
As well, and somebody texts in, as well as the habit of don't show off the gun. These are all, everything
oh,
about
that's self-explanatory, right? Yeah, no, I would agree 100%.
But all of this, it's all bad behavior and tragic, of course, in this case. We also had a case of a road rage-related shooting, not at a person, but guy shot into an empty car. What happened here?
Well, that was what it started out to be, a disagreement over who's following who too closely or something like that. And then one car pulls into a, I think it's Rocky's Food Mart parking lot. They exchange words, and then the victim, the owner of obviously the victim car, goes inside the mart, and then this guy pulls out a gun and he fires out, shoots the window out of the car, and then he drives off. And so we end up finding him. We got a pretty good description of the gentleman. You can see a picture on our Facebook page.
Not the most blend-in kind of individual.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty good idea. We had the right person when we saw the, you know, he had a description. Obviously, we knew the car, tag number. Right. We knew where he was going, and we ended up picking him up, and you can see a picture. He's a little happier than I think he should be for going to jail for these serious charges.
This is the guy sitting in the back of the car with the red beard and the flaming red hair, and he's a little overweight. You know, it's pretty easy to identify this guy.
Yeah, that's correct.
You know, so this is, in my mind, this is like when somebody gets angry at you and they take a crowbar to your window, or they, you know, take a knife to your tire. That's like comparable level, except that it was a firearm. Is that kind of?
That's correct.
Okay. Okay, so it's a vandalism / threat / mishandling of a gun, negligence, all of those things.
Road rage, that's what's going on here. Yeah, bottom line is you can do that. You shouldn't do that, and you can be charged for that, obviously.
Which he was. So.
He was.
Okay. The only good news, nobody was hurt. So, I mean, which is, that's always better news. Let's pause for just a second. We're talking to Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
If you are on South Blue Angel Parkway in between Grand Bahama and Pensacola, there was a vehicle crash with debris in the roadway, so please use caution in that area. And North Palafox and Cervantes Street had a vehicle crash as well, so please drive carefully through that area. If you see anything that we should be reporting on, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. We've had a couple of bills get signed. I talked about this a little bit yesterday with Sheriff Johnson, but I always like to get everybody's perspective if I can. The 25-foot keep your distance bill, right. Which my initial reaction to that was, it seems like a ways. But then again, I understand. I assume you favor this bill. I mean, 25 feet is, what, two lanes of the road. So if somebody's over on the median and you're on the sidewalk, you're at your distance, right?
Yeah. No, I'm in favor. If you recall, a couple of weeks ago, we had an incident at Boys and Girls Club where we had our deputy doing his job, and he was attacked from behind. And, you know, if you're inclined to attack somebody, you may not care about the 25-foot distance, but at least it gives law enforcement room. And you've seen these videos where when sometimes we have to wrestle people and it's not always pretty, you know, it's a slinging back and forth. It's a swinging back some to the ground.
Yeah.
And it takes a little bit of a distance, and it's, I think it's helpful. I don't know that you need to be within that distance to videotape some, you know,
right,
cops if you think they're doing wrong.
Especially
you
with
still,
modern cameras.
Yeah,
you can
zoom in
very
if you
far,
want to.
Yeah.
There's no reason for you to be right there breathing down the neck of the law enforcement officer. So I would agree with it. Just keep your distance. No one's saying you can't watch. No one's saying you can't pull out a phone or anything like that and record whatever you feel like you need to record. But it does. I do believe it gives a level of comfort and safety to the deputies or law enforcement officers that are trying to do the job.
And the way I kind of talked myself into thinking this was probably a good thing is I thought, okay, so if you make the distance 10 feet, okay. Mm-hmm. And then somebody decides to become a bad actor. When does the cop know that they're in danger?
Right.
You know, you don't have any time. But 25 feet, if somebody decides to interfere, you've got some buffer at that point and some time to react, which is, I don't want the cop who's involved in an incident having to think all the time about what's going on around me. I want him focusing on winning that fight.
Yeah, well, a lot of times they are.
Or treating the patient or whatever,
right.
You know.
A lot of times, you know, the officer does have to look around. You have to be aware of your surroundings. And you understand you're in sometimes a hostile environment. And you have to look around and say, get back. I do think 25 gives you that little extra spatial awareness so that you can look back quickly and say, hey, get back a little bit or get back some. Or just get back, period, because a lot of times you don't have time to be too specific. You're busy trying to do the job.
And
you know the guy you're grabbing hold of is trying to get away. He could be a danger to you. He could be fighting. He could be grabbing for a weapon. He could be doing anything. And then you got, you know, some other people to deal with. I think we should understand many times these are deputies or law enforcement officers that are doing the job typically by themselves, you know, like as was in the
initial
the
response,
Boys and Girls
one person,
yeah. We had. Yeah. So, you know, I think we should give them credit and give them all the room and the tools they need to do the job.
And, you know, the other thing is some people might wonder, well, does that mean that if, you know, like if the deputy tells me to come help or if he's losing the fight, which, you know, we've talked about this before, you know, it's okay for you to help them win the fight. You know,
how many times we talk about reasonableness?
Right. You know, be a good citizen. But if they tell you to come help, it's only if they warn you to stay away. So if they need your help, help them. I mean, right. by goodness, they're protecting your rights that you would be empowered to do on your own. They're just doing it in a more official capacity. So, right. You know, be of help, be of service, be of use to the cops. I did want to talk about this. I know this is something that's very important to law enforcement. It is National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week. And I will say it's not to be, you know, joking because it's such an important job. But we used to say dispatcher.
Right.
You know, and for an entity full of employees and workers and professionals who their whole goal is to have efficient, fast communication, public safety telecommunicator is not the most efficient. Dispatcher is a pretty clear word, but I know it's broader than that. And this is such an important job.
Oh, if there's ever been an underappreciated job, then it's the
Amen.
And I still call them dispatch. It's the job of the dispatch. It's the job of the telecommunicator. I know that having been out in the field, a lot of times we just talked about going to do a job by yourself. You're the first unit to get there, or the first unit, the first officer to get there, and then the only person that you have, the only lifeline you have, is that dispatcher, mm-hmm. is that communication you have. And many times it amazes me how they can function. They can answer the phone. They can monitor a radio channel. They can switch channels. They can plug in calls. They can do so many things at one time. And, oh, they can also know by the tone of your voice that they need to get another unit there, or they need to get, I call it unit, but, you know,
yeah, I know what you mean.
Another deputy there, a law enforcement officer there.
What's the distinction?
Is there? It's none. It just depends on what vernacular you used to use back
in the day. I just didn't know
if
unit meant it was two people or something. So the
no,
way
it, it's kind of funny because it was at the police department, it's unit, whatever your number is.
Got
and
it.
At the sheriff's office, it's car.
Okay.
You know, it's unit 100 or car 100. It's all the same. It depends on how it started. Office they used to put your numbers out based on the car that you were driving. And I know at the police department, at least, we had it where it was just the individual officer themselves. So when I say unit, I mean deputy. I mean law enforcement officer.
Gotcha.
And you know, just so we're clear on that. But, yeah, I can't thank enough. The job of the telecommunicators, and this week we take time to just sit back and think about that, because oftentimes, because you don't see them, because they're not
right.
in the forefront, that people don't understand the value that they bring to law enforcement or to fire or to EMS, because they're the ones that typically people talk to first. They're the ones that calm people down. They're the ones that have to get the information. They're the ones that, quite frankly, can save lives at times by giving advice, and they're the ones who can determine which officer goes to which call, which, you know, if you need a backup, if you want the channel on what we call emergency traffic, they'll do that stuff. And it's a sense that they get. It comes from experience, but it also comes from just an ability to understand the job and understand what's going on at any given moment.
It really takes a special person, and lives are in the balance every time you go to work. And even when it's a situation that's not like lives in the balance, it's psychological comfort for, I mean, you know, they're a counselor, they're a logistician, they are an assessor of the situation. They act as a kind of like, you know, the shift superintendent, the captain or whatever to assign resources. I mean, they do all of that. And as you say, under stress, staying calm, being effective. I mean, you know, it's an incredible job.
It gets, if I can take one more moment, it
yeah,
gets
of course.
Better than that. At Pensacola NAS during the shooting, they were getting the phone calls from people that were in a room and not sure they can hear the gunshots, and they're not sure if they're going to survive, and the dispatcher's not certain if they're the last person they're going to talk to. During Hurricane Ivan, I recall we did a lot of we put a lot of videos out and some audios out with some people that were trapped in their homes, and the dispatcher had to tell them, we can't get to you. The conditions are so bad, we cannot get to mm-hmm. you. And again, you're talking to an individual that believes they're going to die. They believe that their life is ending, and that's a difficult thing to, you know, to deal with. Those are difficult conversations to have, and you also have the calls where a traffic accident has taken place, and you know there someone you know could be along their last couple minutes,
yeah.
and it's a very stressful. It's difficult, and there's also a level of, you know, it's heightened by the fact that you talk to people in what could be their worst moment, and it could be their last moment.
And I assume we have to cut it off here, but I assume the counseling that's available for your officers is also available for the telecommunicators.
Absolutely. Yes, it is.
Because I can, of course, they would need it.
Yeah.
Hey, one quick note too is a free event coming up this Saturday at Five Flags Speedway, Cops, Cars, and Crawfish. Your big event that's going to be this Saturday. Is that right?
That's correct. Five Flags Speedway, 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock. Insurance is free. Obviously, we're at the parking lot next to the Five Flags Speedway. They'll be selling crawfish obviously, and hamburgers, hot dogs, and that sort of thing. There'll be games for children to play. There's a car show over there. Cat Country will be there. It is just, it's going to be another, it's our second annual one. The weather looks like it's going to be great, and we're gearing up for a great event. So come on up there. Again, it's free to get in. You can see, sheriff's personnel, canines, horses, all of our vehicles be up there. You can go walking around and climbing upon those, the ones that can be climbed upon.
You had me.
And then there's a movie too. There's a big movie screen. We're gonna show the movie Cars.
Oh, nice.
Obviously,
that makes
next
sense.
To
yeah,
next
sure.
to the Five Flags Speedway. So it was a good event last year, and we look to continue to make it even better. It's the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation signature event, and again, the proceeds all go towards benefit of the sheriff's office engagement and wellness of the deputies.
Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thank you for the time and thanks for doing what you do. I appreciate it.
You bet. You take care.
755 News Radio 92.3. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you are on Cervantes and Palafox, there was a vehicle crash earlier, so use caution driving through that area. South Blue Angel Parkway and Grand Bahama Drive, there is debris in the roadway from an accident, so please use caution as well. And on Fairfield Drive going west in between Pace Boulevard and North L Street, that crash has been cleared, but still drive with caution. This traffic report is brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
The celebration continues at Pete Moore Imports during Volkswagen's 75th anniversary sales event. Drive the Volkswagen Tiguan, a spacious SUV with plenty of savings, like a $2,000 customer cash discount, or lock in 0% APR for 60 full months. And for VW's largest SUVs, the Atlas and Atlas Cross Sport, you can choose 1.9% APR for 60 months or a $3,000 customer cash discount. For 75 years, Volkswagen has delivered a lineup of vehicles much loved by generations. From the VW ID.4 EV, the VW Taos, the ever-popular Jetta sedan, and the GTI and Golf R performance cars. VW continues to deliver excitement today. So come to Pete Moore Imports and celebrate with savings. 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate for qualifying credit through VCI and a standalone offer in lieu of customer cash discounts. Must take retail delivery by April 30th. See dealer for details.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You're a storyteller, negotiator, artist, innovator. Whatever your passion, whatever your skills, behind the scenes or in front, you belong here. A career in broadcast media. Local radio and TV stations in every town and city need someone like you. So do what you love and bring your talent to life. Your passion, your skills, your career. You belong here. Learn more at youbelonghere.media.
Bands on the Beach is back, so grab a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. This week, it's the hottest classic rock and roll horn band in Pensacola, the Baybridge Band. 25 more seems to grow. So grab a blanket or lawn chair, but don't bring any pets or glass, and get to Bands on the Beach this Tuesday night at 7 at the Coastside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach, thanks to the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
Pensacola right now with Joe and Austin.
It's like headline news for radio. Every day, 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We're not going to fall for a banana in the tailpipe.
You're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
It should be more natural, brother. It should flow out like this. Look, man, I ain't falling for no banana in my tailpipe.
little Pat Benatar to end the hour. And David Wayne, do you have a 10-second headline for me?
I sure do. Anti-Semitic incidents in the U.S. hit an all-time record high last year, according to the Anti-Defamation League. More than 8,800 anti-Semitic incidents, a 140% increase over 2022.
Local Talk in the Morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.